Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and in today's episode, I'm speaking with life coach Caroline de Posada. Caroline and I speak about the importance of clarity and manifestation, why we need to dream, act, and release to live with intention, and the concept of bliss. I hope you enjoy the episode, and please, if you like the show, subscribe and give us a rating, or take a screenshot and share the episode on your social media. Thank you so much. And as always, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes for more details. Now onto my conversation with Caroline. Caroline de Posada, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's my true pleasure. I'm really excited to talk about all things manifestation, living a life with intention, and just in general, what it means to be a life coach. And to get us started, I would love to hear from you. What's the number one thing you're excited for our listeners to learn from this conversation today?
I guess what I'd be most excited about is the idea that your listeners will leave here knowing that bliss is within them. And that all they have to do is open their eyes and their hearts and their lifestyle to being able to find that bliss, but that it's already there. It's not outside of you, it's within you.
That is so wonderful. Thank you so much for giving us such a wonderful theme overall. And tell us how you got into life coaching.
I think I just kind of stumbled upon life coaching because I was born and raised in the world of personal development. So my father was a motivational speaker.
Okay.
Yeah, which is pretty wild. But ever since I was a little girl, he was a psychologist and had all these really cool positions. He was a sports psychologist. He did all these beautiful things. But at some point, he started to be asked to speak on psychology applied to sales and things like that. And when I was about 7, I started attending conferences with him. I started going to his seminars. I started learning about the work of personal development. And in reality, I was his apprentice.
Oh, wow.
Growing up. So I think he was kind of like my first pseudo life coach. But, you know, as a parent, I think all parents are their kids' life coaches at some point. So he was kind of like my pseudo life coach, except that he actually had those personal development skills. And I grew up in that environment, but I never at the time that word wasn't used. Life coaching wasn't in style yet. So he was a consultant. He was a speaker. You know, he had other job descriptions. He was a mentor, but it never did he use. And he was a sports coach, but in the world of life coaching, he didn't use that term. And then as the years went by, I eventually decided that I was going to start taking on this work myself, the personal development work. And I actually started off trying to do what he did. I wanted to be a motivational speaker and kind of follow in his footsteps because it was the only thing I knew at the time. But that life didn't serve me well, which is a whole story in and of itself. But that life didn't serve me well. So as my life kept progressing, I just kept doing the next right thing and the next right thing, and eventually stumbled upon this career that seemed to bring the best of everything that I wanted. I could do the work, I could follow in my father's footsteps, I could be in the world of personal development, and I could also have a life that nurtured my family dynamics and my priorities. And that was life coaching.
Oh, so wonderful. I love how it's sometimes fascinating when certain doors we're trying to push them open and so on. And then if they stay closed, we get frustrated perhaps for some time. But in the end, it usually leads us to living a more aligned life, or at least to some wonderful breakthroughs. And I know we're going to talk about some of that and as well, like what it means to trying to force things as opposed to just sometimes letting go and living and manifesting and still taking action. Because I think sometimes when people hear a manifestation or a visualization and so on, they think it just means creating the vision and then letting go and not doing anything. But it's really that combination of action taking and having the vision and letting the universe sort of it's just creating a beautiful co-creation as opposed to a forced one. But yeah, you have such wonderful concepts that I really want to talk about. The first one being core. What do you teach people when it comes to core concept? What does that actually mean?
Okay, so CORE is an acronym and it stands for four essential principles that I live by in their skill sets: clarity, organization, resilience, and emotional intelligence. And I subscribe to the philosophy that we need to be strengthening those skills and implementing those principles in our lives always, no matter what we do. But I also notice that in times of transition, in times of chaos, in times of uncertainty, in times of growth, sometimes the most important thing that you can do is strengthen your core. And the way that this came to me is actually a cute story. You are a nutrition expert, right? So you are all about nutrition, and physical fitness, and I admire your work so much.
Oh,
It's
thank
incredible
you.
the things that you do. But so I think you'll resonate with this story. But how I came across the word core was I was running, I was training for a marathon, and I was starting to have some lower back pain, and sometimes my knees would hurt. There's just you kind of get some aches and pains when you're training for a marathon. And a friend of mine recommended me to go to a Pilates class. So I attend this Pilates class, which in my mind at the time I thought it was like, an expensive class for stay-at-home moms. Like that just didn't like I didn't think it was like that good of a workout because it just felt a little, too low impact from my knowledge. And little did I know, I was sorely mistaken. But I get to this Pilates class, and before the Pilates class is over, I'm already feeling much better in my back. Like everything was better than when I walked in. And I was fascinated by this concept of Pilates. Like, what is this magical exercise that just takes away all your pains? So the following week, I went to the track, and I would do track on Tuesday mornings. I still do that, to train for this marathon. And as I was running stronger than the weeks prior, like a lot faster and just stronger. And the coach noticed, and he said, "Kato, what have you been doing?" And I said, "Oh, Pilates. That's been the magical thing that I've been doing is Pilates." So he said, "My friend Marty is very into Pilates. Why don't you go talk to him?" Now, Marty is an Iron Man. He's in the best physical fitness you'll ever find. He runs fast, he swims fast, he bikes fast, he's muscular, he's all the things. So I went up to him and I'm like, "Marty, what is it with this Pilates that is just so magical?" And he said, "Oh, I've been telling everybody you need to go and do Pilates." And I'm like, "Yeah, but what is it?" And he said, "When you're running on empty, what it all boils down to is the strength of your core. It's like when you're out of gas, what keeps you going is the strength of your core." And that just resonated with me. And as I was running around the track, talking about co-creating with the universe, I had been doing all this work, and I'm running across the track, and in that moment, it was like I had a download. And I received it, and it was, core isn't just about your abs. Core isn't just about your physical strength. It's also the personal development tools you need, because it's core is the essence of something. It is the innermost essential thing that no one can see, but it's what holds you together. So it's like the core of an apple, the core of a problem, the core of your body. What it always comes down to is the strength of your core. And that's really how I came across that term that I just had the acronym for it, because these are principles I've been implementing and applying, and they just all fit together so nicely.
I love it. Absolutely. So, core clarity, organization, resilience, and emotional intelligence. And with regards to what you said about having a strong foundation in all areas of life, I think that's so important. And I mean, we notice that the most when shit hits the fan, when we get stressed out or so. Like, what habits do we fall back onto? What are our priorities, or what is our most priority? Most of the time, when someone gets really stressed, all the additional things like the quote unquote luxury things, they fall away, right? It's like you focus on, okay, here is the family life, or am I still prioritizing sleep? What, like, that's where it becomes very apparent who someone is and who someone's real habits are or baseline foundations are when we are very busy. It's not in, a perfect day where everything goes according to plan. That just doesn't happen most of the time. But I'm very curious in regards to clarity, because that's something I'm really big on as well. I always say to people, I want you to be super, 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 super clear on your actual goals. The more clarity we can have around that, the better. The more you can visualize your future self, the better. But oftentimes people are like, I don't even know what my goal should be. Like, I don't like, I know I want to change. I want to be better. I want my life to be different, but I don't really know how different. I don't know if your clients struggle with that too, or I guess the follow-up questions, how do we cultivate clarity if we kind of feel like, I don't know, I just want something to change?
That's a really good question, and I think it's the million-dollar question. I think everyone has that question at all times, and clarity is such a tricky thing because, and you know this, Lisa, like sometimes what is we think clear means crystal clear, and sometimes clear is a little foggy and hazy, right? So it could be it's a million-dollar question. What I would say is, and my friend Betsy said this once in a group. We were helping a friend of ours, and we were like in a group mastermind, and she said this to her, to this friend of ours that was going through a hard time, and it was, I thought it was life-changing. She said, you know, if you're driving at night and you're in the mountains and it's pitch dark, there's no street lights or anything like that, and all you have is your car and your headlights, how far ahead can you see? Right? And it's about 6 feet, if that. Well, you don't stay paralyzed with the car. You just drive and you trust that those 6 feet that you see in front of you is enough. That's just enough to keep you going. And you trust that you're not going to fall off a cliff because you can see those 6 feet. And as you keep driving, the path starts opening up more and more and more, and then you see the turns and the twists and all the things. And she was referring to this friend of ours as just take the next right step right now, and that's going to offer you more clarity down the road. But sometimes we don't even know what the next right step is, right? We're like, well, we don't even see those 6 feet. We don't know at all. And I think before you can decide what that clarity is, I think you get to think about why do you want the change? When you say that you want something different, why do you want something different? What is it about your life that you feel requires improvement? Is it other people's opinion? Is it societal norms? Is it false expectations? Is it, sometimes we get stuck in the path of, I know what I don't want, but I know what I want, but I don't know what I want. So then, are you trying to change because you're so afraid of what you don't want, as opposed to what you actually want? And those are exercises that we get to work together in the work that we do, that I'm sure you do with your clients and I do with mine, in getting them to just put those headlights on, even just for 6 feet, to say, okay, this is why we want to do this. This is why we want to make this change. And we trust that if we just take a few steps in the right direction, more clarity will open up.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Beautiful. Like, I do truly think often we're paralyzed by that. I need to have a perfect plan before I get started taking action, but that's not true. I do also think, though, that very often people don't actually take or make the time to ever just pause and sit in stillness or like go within. It's like, you're expecting to have this aha moment while you're in the car listening to the radio with your kids in the background, grocery shopping in your mind already and thinking about how you're going to cook dinner. Like in that moment, you're never going to have an aha moment of what your actual purpose is to be here on earth, right? Like it's just, you need to create space for that occurrence to happen. And so I think sometimes that might happen when people go on vacation. They're like, oh, for once, I did nothing, and I came back, and I know there is a change, and I know what I'm supposed to do now, or so. But in our day-to-day craziness, it is very difficult sometimes to just listen to make room for that inner voice that can help guide us there. But yeah, I love what you said about just focusing on the next step, on the next little bit. We don't need to have the whole next 5 years planned out or so. And just another question when it comes to core before I want to move on to the next concept. Emotional intelligence, also something that's kind of a term that's being thrown around quite a lot. And yeah, we need to get more emotionally intelligent, but what does that even mean? And so, like, practically speaking, how can we become more emotionally intelligent? If someone says, I know I'm not very empathetic, I know I should, and I want to understand other people better, but I don't really know how to. I'm not a very emotional, I don't feel like I'm a very emotional person. I'm more of a logical person. So I personally, I have to say, like, I used to think like I'm very strategic, I'm very logical, but allowing myself to feel my emotions more, or to just even extend my feelers, so to speak, to tap into other people's emotions is not something that comes naturally to me. I need to, again, kind of do that more intentionally. So, how can people develop more of an emotional intelligence?
Well, I think the term emotional intelligence, just to answer your initial question, is learning how to A, regulate your own emotional state, right? Understand it, navigate it, accept it, and regulate it. So it's how you're feeling internally, and also learning how to handle yourself amidst all of other people's complex emotional dynamics. So, for you, who tends to be a very logical person and a very strategic person in the work that you do, being a nutrition coach, and there may be, you may attract a lot of clients who emotions govern the way they eat. Emotions govern the choices they make as according in their well, health and wellness, right? So, your skill set, your strength is logic and strategy, and you can help them look outside their fishbowl and see things that they couldn't see because their emotions cloud them. But where you become most effective is when you can meet them where they're at, as opposed to judging them for not being logical or strategic. Understanding this is what governs them, this is their emotional landscape, meeting them when they're at, and then offering them tools and skill sets to be able to circumvent those emotions and act according to your formula, to your plan, to your strategy, to your logic, and implement that in their own lives. So really, emotional intelligence is this ability to it's understanding. It's seeking to understand before you are understood, which is one of Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of highly effective people. Seeking to understand, it's removing judgment and replacing it with curiosity. It's
That
under
emotion.
it's understanding the rules of stoicism, actually accepting responsibility for where you are at, creating self-awareness. Sometimes we think we're not emotional people, but it's because we bypass our emotions because we feel safer in not dealing with the emotions. So then we bypass all these other emotions. Emotional intelligence is about being able to recognize and create awareness and say, oh, I can experience that emotion. But I don't need that emotion to drive the car. I don't need that emotion to drive my actions. So emotional intelligence is very complex, but it's actually one of the most important skills that you need in creating relationships, in nurturing relationships, and in creating your own healthy relationship with your life and your circumstances.
I love that, especially the being more curious and just trying to understand as opposed to judging part, whether that pertains to our own or other people's emotions. So thank you so much for explaining that. And yes, moving. Oh, yes, go
If
on.
I could just tell you one more thing about that, because I think this is really, really important. I often talk to my clients about emotional regulation, and sometimes they will come to me and say, you know, I've been doing so good, but I'm so upset at myself because this happened and I felt blah, 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 blah. They tell me whatever they felt. And what I've noticed is that people get more upset about their initial instinct of how they felt than about their reaction. And I always say, we are animals. We have human or animalistic instincts. Don't judge yourself by what your first thought is, or your first impulse is, or your first initial trigger is. Between that initial trigger and that initial response and your reaction, there is a space. And in that space is where emotional intelligence really flourishes. That's where you really start to get control over yourself and over your dynamics and over other people. And when you can navigate in that space and say, I may have felt this, but rather than judge myself or be mad at myself for that feeling, I am really proud of what I did next, then you start to master emotional intelligence.
Wow, amazing. Yeah, and that really applies to so many other things as well, like with nutrition. Like if we have a quote unquote mess up and we beat ourselves up about, oh, I ate way more and I felt out of control and so on, instead of doing that and just saying, okay, well, what could I have done better? Or also, why did that even come on? And just trying to learn from it for the next time, as opposed to just, yeah, having that judgment. So, really, really cool concept. I want to move on to another concept that you talk about, and that is called DARE. So, dream, act, release, and enjoy slash live with intention. I absolutely love that. But if you could explain that, how you came up with that concept and what exactly you mean by that would be great.
So DARE is another one of those of philosophies that came to me like core. I find that so I have three methodologies. There are three formulas that I teach and that I live by. They're core, living with intention, and DARE. Core is a foundational concept. It's kind of like, you know, filling in the gaps, creating a solid foundation, strengthening what you cannot see. Then living with intention is what we were talking about when we were talking about that take the next right step. That and you said so beautifully, you said so many people they think they're going to come up with all the answers like while they're driving and listening to the radio and thinking about the groceries and all this kind of, they don't sit down and have time to reflect and actually get clarity on their lives. Well, living with intention is a framework specifically to make reflection a lifestyle. So every month, you could do this once a month, you could do this once a quarter, and you can do this once a year. And it's not mutually exclusive to anyone. There's no rigid rules, but the idea is that periodically you sit and you notice what is working. Notice what is not working. Notice the energy that you're in, the energy that you want to step into. Notice the identity your habits have been creating and whether it's aligned with the identity of the person you want to become or that you want to be, the ideal version of yourself. Then you name that the thing you want to be or the energy you want to establish or the theme you want to live into. So I theme my months. I have a word of the year. I have a word of the month. Sometimes I set an intention for a conversation. Sometimes I set an intention for our meetings, you know, things like that. So you're noticing, you're naming that thing, and then you nurture what you have named. So if you come to Lisa and you want to lose weight and you want to be super into your nutrition, you are naming that you are going to focus on your nutrition and that you're going to show up as, maybe in your case with your clients, I'm going to show up as obedient because I trust Lisa. I trust that Lisa has skills and knowledge and expertise that maybe I don't have. So I'm going to show up obedient. And when Lisa tells me, hey, this is your food plan for the month, or this is what you need to do, or I want you to tweak this or tweak that, rather than argue against her or challenge her or, tell her why this isn't going to work, the energy I'm naming is going to be obedience because that's what I'm stepping into right now. And therefore, I'm going to try that for, and that doesn't have to be like that forever. That could be for 3 months. And then you say, okay, well, now I'm going to nurture something else. That's kind of like the idea behind living with intention. You're noticing, you're naming the things, the identities, the patterns, the themes, the energy you're stepping into. You're naming what you're working on, and then you're nurturing that thing. And then my concept is that when you get really solid in your foundation of core, and when you start integrating, because living with intention is about integrating a lifestyle of mindfulness in your regular life, then all of a sudden you create that space you were talking about, Lisa, to dare to thrive. Now you start thinking bigger. You're no longer in that survival, all I need to do is just lose 5 pounds. You're not in the survival of all I need to do is just get past today. Now you're dreaming of, well, what if I could help other people using what I learned? What if I could open a business? What if I could travel the world? What if I could start going on date nights with my kid? Because you're past the survival. And then once you start stepping into these dreams and these desires, you start taking aligned action, the next right step. You release what no longer serves you. So sometimes you have to release limiting beliefs. Sometimes you have to release commitments that were holding you back before. Sometimes you have to release certain relationships that no longer work for you. Sometimes you have to release certain circumstances. Like success isn't only about completion, it's also about deletion. So you get to release delete what you need to delete from your life. And then the E is opening your eyes to enjoy the magic and the synchronicities that remind you you're on path. That's where we circle right back to that finding the bliss that's within you. Because when you start living a life like this and you start getting on path and you start taking these intentional steps every day and you start taking aligned action every single day, all of a sudden the universe starts sending you little explosions of rewards. You met this. I don't know if you know this, but it happened to me with you. I named my theme for March magnetic, magnetize March. It was magnetize March. So I named the theme magnetize, and I started thinking about being magnetic. What does it look like? What do I have to, how am I going to nurture a magnetic existence and a magnetic energy? And I'm doing all this work and I'm studying this and I'm talking about this. And then you send me an email about working in the podcast or collaborating on the podcast. And I don't know if you recall this, but you send me this email and you say, okay, I'll see you on X and next day at this time. And then you send me a follow-up email and say, by the way, you have a magnetic smile. Do you remember that?
I remember that, absolutely.
And in that moment, so small, that's not a huge deal.
But I could have used any other word, but I didn't, right? Yeah, it was exactly that. I saw your picture and I was like, "Whoa, that is, magnetic." That is so interesting. Wow.
And it was that month, and I thought, this is what DARE is about. It's about just stepping in. You're daring to live a life that you dream of. You become a co-creator with the universe. You become this person who is writing your own story. Doesn't mean everything's perfect. It doesn't have to be grandiose or flawless or painless or challengeless. None of that. But you're co-creating, and then you get these little rewards. So when I saw that email from you have a magnetic smile. My first thought was, A, I'm on path. B, I'm supposed to be on her podcast. We're meant to collaborate together. C, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing in this world.
Wow, yeah, I'm literally getting goosebumps as you're saying that because it's hitting home so hard with me, and I just absolutely love everything about that concept that you're teaching and your clients and us here on this podcast as well. There's so much to unpack. So first of all, I think it's great how you're encouraging clients or anyone to make more time and pause about, okay, what do I actually want? And you said that so beautifully. I think you said, what habits do I have that have created the personality that I have right now? And I mean, that's exactly what it is. Like habits, they create the personality or the person that we are. It's not fixed. It's just if we change a habit, we can change our personality with that as well. So we need to select and cultivate our habits very, very specifically and intentionally. So I really think that's awesome. And the other thing that stood out to me so much was when you said, or we're talking about the release aspect, because I read this quote once and I'm probably butchering it, but it's something like, remember, if you grow, it's also gonna feel like death somehow, or you know, like letting go part or letting go of that old part of you. And I don't think that that is something that's talked about enough, like the pain that we're sometimes experiencing as we're growing, and it's like, yes, I'm making progress, but I'm also leaving behind a few people, but I'm also losing or leaving behind a few aspects of myself. And I'll share something kind of like vulnerably on here. I mean, most of the listeners know I have been a traveling solo for quite some time, and nonetheless, over the last like 2, 3 years, I was always kind of trying to manifest a partner. And I didn't realize, I guess, until the beginning of this year that I was secretly also loving my single life. And so, yeah, I guess to an extent, it was well, first of all, I sent out very mixed messages to the universe, because I was like, oh, I love this single life, it's amazing. And at the same time, oh, please, you know, universe, send me my next best partner or my next life partner. And it's like, obviously the universe is confused if you keep saying I love my single life, and at the same time it's like saying I love cheeseburgers and binge drinking every weekend, but at the same time I want to have the shredded beach body and I actually don't like going to the beach. It's like, yeah, that's not gonna happen. I'm sorry. But yeah, anyway, so I have realized now that I need to let go of my single personality in order to fully step into a new relationship. And that feels like pain as well. And I do think that many people that, yeah, go through weight loss changes or any kind of change, a new job or whatever, they do miss a certain aspect of the past. And that's fine. You can miss it. It's just you also need to part from it. And most of the time, I do think having like a rough cut there is better than like dragging your old personality along with you for some time and you think you can make it, but not, and eventually you're letting go. It's more painful than just saying, nope, enough with that. You know, this was my old me and I'm fully stepping and committing. I'm ready for the new person that I want to become. And the clearer we can make that message, the quicker our new dreams are going to manifest. But yes, it is not all, it's growing is not always pleasant.
And thank you for sharing that with me, because I didn't know that personally, but that goes back to our conversation on clarity when we talked about the why and the what that we want. You were saying, I in theory I want to manifest a relationship, but then I love this life. I love being single. I love all these things. So then it's like, well, then why? Why do we want to create a relationship? Why? What is not working about being single right now that we want this other part of our lives? And then once we understand the why behind that, then we can nurture. We can nurture that.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, because oftentimes when we do think about the why more, especially again as it pertains to weight loss or so, sometimes people realize it's not actually important enough to me. So let's just say someone might say, "Oh, I want to be a bikini competitor, or I want to step on stage or whatever," and then halfway through their journey, they're struggling, and we're like trying to get to the bottom of, why are you struggling, and do you really want this enough? And they're like, "No, actually, I was quite okay with my body beforehand. I felt I had more freedom to be social, and I need to let go of that dream because my why is not strong enough." And sometimes that's okay. So I think it's just like being honest with yourself and then moving on, and it's liberating as well. So I think that's a really, really good point. I do want to circle back to the point of bliss, because yeah, that's just that I know it's something you're really, really passionate talking about all in all. And when I first heard you speak about it, you also said that bliss is not about taking or forcing, but it's about living in alignment. And again, alignment is maybe a term that's thrown around quite a bit without people actually understanding what that means. So maybe you can explain to us what you mean by living in alignment, and also why bliss really isn't about taking or forcing.
Well, before I answer that, I have a question for you. Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
What do you, when I say the word bliss, what comes to your mind?
Joy, and yeah, I can't help but smile even just thinking about bliss. Like I almost think of like stars and something just wonderful moment, just contentedness and happiness at the same time, I would say.
And do you feel like you've ever had a moment of bliss
Oh,
before?
multiple. Yeah, very numerous. I can easily think of numerous moments.
And if I asked you right now to pick one of the most blissful moments of your life, like, would you be able to tell me what it is?
Absolutely. Yeah, so for example, when I finished high school, I went on a trip around the world, and I was like basically in a jungle in Ecuador, actually, and we were walking past this waterfall, and I thought, like, this is too good to be true. Like, I can't believe my life is allowing me to do this. I was in nature, I was just like hiking. I felt so fulfilled. So that was, for example, one moment. And then
Okay, hold on. So in that moment, if I were to right now tell you, like, close your eyes and go back to that jungle in Ecuador, can you see it?
yes,
Can
easily.
you be there?
Yeah, I can even like literally hear the waterfall. I can almost smell or feel the humidity of the air. Like literally, it's a very, very vivid experience.
I'm looking at your face, and you're red, you're blushing, and the smile on your face is growing bigger and bigger and bigger. So right now, you are experiencing bliss.
100%.
This is not something you had to force,
Nope.
not something you had to fabricate. You are just stepping into a moment that you have experienced in your life, and you are connecting to the emotion of that moment. That is. That's it. It's
Wow.
that easy. And
Wow.
the most beautiful thing about bliss is that you could experience it three times. You can experience it when you are dreaming of something that you want to achieve. Like maybe for you, it's climbing a mountain, or maybe it's I don't know, something you can like finishing a marathon, like I remember there was a time in my life where I could just like envision myself crossing the finish line of a marathon. And I would get so excited at the thought, like I can actually see myself crossing the finish line. So you can feel it in anticipation of a moment. You can feel it in the moment when it happens. And in the moment when it happens is actually interesting, because most of those moments catch you by surprise. They are the moments you least expected. Sometimes you will feel bliss in anticipation of a moment, and when the moment actually happens, it wasn't quite as blissful as you expected, right? But you felt it before, which is okay. And then sometimes you're sitting in the most mundane, ordinary, insignificant moment, and you're with someone you love, laughing, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, this is the best moment ever, and you feel it. And then the third time, which I think is one of the most powerful ways, is you could feel it in hindsight. You can relive it. You can live the most important moments of your life, like a collection of pearls in a pearl necklace. And you can just relive all of these beautiful moments. And when you are feeling like life is hard, or you're in a rut, or you are scared, or you're uncertain, you can always grab those moments that the universe has offered you, and you can hold on to them, and you can remember them and know that there's another one coming.
That's amazing. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's very liberating as well. Again, it's not because we're not forcing it, we're not taking it's just experiencing. And that's where I think practicing more mindfulness and gratitude really comes in hand, because a lot of people, they basically walk past the beauty of life, and blissful moments don't have to be like on a world trip into a specific country. If from what I hear you say, it can also just be on your afternoon walk with your kids and the dog, and you notice a beautiful flower, and suddenly the sun hits, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so lucky I get to do this with my kids and my dog, and the sun is out, and just appreciating also even the small things. I do think I get I get like a small bliss moment many days when I get my coffee and I like read a book and I'm just like, yeah, then the sun might come in, or I might have a wonderful view, and I'm like, yeah, life's pretty good. Like, this is awesome.
No, the way that I like to look at it is, we have moments. Sometimes we have them frequently, and sometimes not as frequently. But we have moments where we feel like all is right with the world in this moment. In this moment, whatever bills we have to pay, whatever argument we had with our mom, whatever issue we had, is not that important in this little tiny moment, because this moment, as it is timeless, it's transcendent, and it's pure happiness. Doesn't have to be recreated, it doesn't have to be fabricated, it doesn't have to be forced, it doesn't have to be different. It just is. And when you start to learn to find those moments and to look for those moments, that is when you start living a life of wonder. When what I mean by living with alignment, because people might not understand what that means, is you know that you're living in alignment when you start to become the kind of person that increases the frequency of those moments. When you find that every day is hard, and every day is painful, and every day is a grind, and every day is an argument, and every day is you're around toxic people, and you're having these, difficult conversations, and you're always under like this chronic stress, and you feel like you just need to get out of this, there's something wrong. It's time to pay attention. And it's either your perception and your mindset, or it's the choices that you've made leading up to this lifestyle. And you get to decide, I change how I think about this, or I change how I'm living this experience. And you have control over both.
Yeah, that's the beautiful part of it. And Caroline, I think so often it's that feeling of like that forcing and so on is when we're not living in our most authentic self, or for one, but also not in the way that we are really meant to be living. Like, if you have certain gifts, let's just say your gift is communication and bringing people together, but you're working as an accountant, and your gift or your personality would thrive the most in an environment with lots of people around you, a good community, but you're living very much in isolation, not actually much day-to-day contact with other people. There is no wonder that you are not able to bring out the best of your personality, the best and that true alignment of who you are meant to be. So yeah, I think a really, really good point that we do have control of our life no matter what, no matter how old someone is. I think it's never too late to change your life, to take action. And I do think we hear many stories of people that have become successful or found quote unquote happiness in their 70s, 80s, or later. But when it comes to us, many people think, oh, I'm already in my 40s, is it too late? Or even, we come up with these not necessarily excuses, because they're very relevant, but it seems like it's not for us. Other people, okay, yes, they can make it happen, but it's for us. We need to just stay the track and just keep going with where we're at. I don't know if your clients or many people that you talk to sort of have a similar attitude sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'd even say this, because there's no clear cut rule. Let's say that same example about that person who, is social and a communications person, but they're doing accounting. And the accounting doesn't fulfill them, it's not their thing, but it's what pays the bills today. And maybe today they can't change that. But what if that very person does accounting by day and then goes salsa dancing at night? What if that person is a surfer and they work all week, but Friday to Sunday they are, they're surfing their life away? What if that person has an incredible family that they love and they adore, and the highlight of their day is coming home and swinging on the swings with their kid, right? Not every aspect of your life has to be perfect at all times. But that accountant can still find bliss in those moments. And that accountant can say, this is what's working for me today, but this is temporary. What if I start thinking about steps I can take so that I don't have to do this forever? What would that look like? Right? So you don't have to burn the boats, quit your job, and move to Bali to be happy, right? Sometimes you got to pay the bills. Sometimes you have responsibilities that are not just unique to you. You have responsibilities to the people in your family. But if you are truly, truly in alignment with the things that bring you joy, with a life of gratitude, of peace, of harmony, you're going to start to find the gaps where you can make those things come true. And then the goal is do more of that and the least amount of possible of what I have to do to get to the next step. What if it means, hey, for the next 3 years, we are going to budget every dollar, every penny, everything that we have. And we're going to save and we're going to save and we're going to save and we're going to save. But in 3 years, we have an exit plan. And the exit plan is going to look like this. Or maybe we're going to use this to invest in our own business. Or we're going to do X. There's so many choices. And it's exactly what you said. Doesn't matter if you're 40 or 50 or 60 or 70. So long as you're alive, you're always growing and you're always dying, just a little bit.
That's awesome. Yeah, a wonderful perspective. I really, really think that's great to keep in mind all the time, and just it's never too late to take action, but also not scaring people in the sense you need to change your life completely from one day to another. So, yeah, Caroline, everything you have taught us today is absolutely resonating with me, and I know it will be with the listeners as well. So, I will make sure to put all your social handles in the show notes. Thank you so much for your time. It's been a true pleasure speaking with you.
Oh, thank you so much. It was great.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Caroline. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. And remember, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go, if you are looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every month. Thank you for listening.